Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Black Hills Chamber Music Society closes their season Sunday, May 6th with the Jasper String Quartet. The Philadelphia musicians are the professional quartet in residence at Temple University's Center for Gifted Young Musicians. They've been awarded the CMA Cleveland Quartet Award, and their latest album, Unbound, was hailed by the New York Times as one of the 25 best classical recordings of 2017. We're joined now on the line from Philadelphia by founding violist Sam Quintel. Sam, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the program for the Black Hills Chamber Music Society's close of their season. What will you be bringing to Rapid City?
Well, we're playing a little Beethoven, Opus 18, number 2, a marvelous one of his first quartets. It's really one of our favorites to perform. It's nicknamed the Compliments Quartet because the first movement it has a lot of rests in it, and it's very sort of upbeat, and so you can almost imagine the four players are sort of bowing and curtsying and complimenting each other. Then we're playing the somewhat darker and stormier Mendelssohn, Opus 44, number 2. It's the one of his sort of middle quartets, and it's one of the stormiest of his quartets, and there's a lot of sort of kinetic energy in it, and really a amazing, fun piece and really fun to perform. And then we're closing the program with the great Ravel Quartet. We've just been playing the Debussy quite a bit, and we're sort of coming back to the Ravel after performing the Debussy Quartet, which the Ravel Quartet is kind of based on the Debussy String Quartet. And I really think Ravel got it right. It's remarkably well-proportioned piece and really works well.
Tell me about how this group came together. You're named after a national park in Canada. So tell me the story of how you met and why you work so well together.
Yeah, so three of us met while we were doing our undergrad at Oberlin College. And we wanted to do chamber music a little bit more seriously, and we started working together and really enjoyed playing together and decided that we wanted to try and make it work as a quartet. And from there, we went to Rice University and Yale University to study in string quartet programs. And we've been playing together, the three of us now have been playing together for, I think, almost 15 years. And we had one member change while we were at Rice, so the four of us, including Cy, have been playing together for all 11 years. And it's been a really wonderful journey. We're really excited to be able to do this as our living.
It seems sort of like starting your own business, and choosing your partners there, fairly early. There's so many different paths you could go with classical music. Was there a moment for you where you just knew, okay, these are the right people that I need to be with, and why?
Yeah, I mean, it is very much like a business. It is in fact a business. And it is, there's a lot of similarity with sort of choosing partners for a business. There's also a similarity with sort of a marriage. It's like, it's a very personal relationship between the four people. And it's something that requires a lot of sort of care and work to maintain. Especially early on, and sort of working out a way that the quartet can work together. So I would say there were moments of like realizing that there was a good chemistry between these four people. And certainly when we were sort of playing with other violinists, when Cy joined the group, there was good chemistry, and then there was not as good chemistry. But it was also just a long process of working together, the four of us, and working through disagreements and working out a way that we could play music together and push each other to create the best performance possible.
Is there a moment then when you're performing, you're no longer rehearsing, you're on stage somewhere, you're in a classroom somewhere, and you know exactly what, that next person is going to do before they even do it? How close do you become then playing this music together?
Yeah, I mean, when you're performing well together, and and that happens more and more. The every moment is a moment of anticipating what somebody else is going to do, especially as an inner voice, as I play viola. If you're just following the melody line or the bass line, you're always going to be a little bit behind. So you're always kind of anticipating what the person who's playing the melody or playing the bass line wants to do with the music, and responding to that in a way that hopefully inspires them to play even more beautifully. The word synergy is very much overused, but that's what it feels like. It feels like you're giving and taking at the same time.
Yeah. It's so much more than the little black dots on the page, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. go ahead.
No, I mean, it's even more than like playing solo repertoire is also amazing and fulfilling, but like the ability to play essentially solo repertoire with four people is really the joy of playing in a string quartet.
Yeah. You grew up in a log cabin with no running water in Fairbanks, Alaska, and your parents made things, and they, you know, were really self-reliant. Tell me a little bit about how a kid who grows up like that ends up at Oberlin in the first place.
Yeah, I started playing violin when I was six, after hearing a fiddle tune on the radio. My parents didn't play anything. They were very musical. But so I asked to start playing violin, and my mom went out and found me a teacher. And I was very, very fortunate that there was a strong Suzuki program in Fairbanks with some really excellent teachers. So I was able to take advantage of that. And there's actually four or five at least people who grew up around the same time that I did in Fairbanks who are now professional musicians in one venue or another. So I was very lucky in that respect. I think the other thing is that, you know, the winter is long and you're in a little cabin and there's not really a lot to do. So practicing becomes slightly more attractive. But I was very fortunate to have good teaching and to have good people around me to make music with.
What do you take with you still? Because there's so many different ways to come to this line of work, but I think yours is probably, you probably don't bump into too many other classical musicians, you know, who have that same background. What do you still take with you from those days and from your parents and making and building? And how does that carry to your art with the viola and with the quartet?
Yeah, I guess, I still live my life, you know, as much as possible, sort of in the same vein. I also have a wood shop and I make things, and I really enjoy that as kind of a counterpoint to making music. But I think the ability to express something beautiful, the inspiration that I get from growing up in a very beautiful place, in a beautiful natural place, and the sort of initiative to go out and do something, to create something, are things that can apply to anything, but that I apply to the quartet and to creating amazing music and performing music at a really high level.
My guest right now is Sam Quintel, and he's with the Jasper String Quartet. He's the founding violist. You can see the Jasper String Quartet at the Black Hills Chamber Music Society close of their season. It's Sunday at 3 p.m. at First Congregational Church in Rapid City. Tickets are at the door. And Sam, we're going to leave with a piece from the quartet from the album Unbound, and we have selected the song Push-Pulling. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Unbound and then about this piece before we get into it. Tell me about this recording.
Yeah, so that particular piece is I really love. Donica Dennehy, who wrote it, is a lovely man and really has a wonderful sensibility about music and composing. And so I'm very glad that you picked that piece. The Unbound, the album, is a collection of seven works by composers who are sort of our generation. A couple are a little older. Kind of compiled with an idea of of assembling a bunch of pieces that hadn't been recorded that had sort of a similar aesthetic. So you'll hear from Push-Pulling, there's a little bit more of minimalism in this CD than not. So there's a little bit sort of meditative quality to a lot of these pieces. And a very emotional sort of storytelling aspect as well. And this album we recorded in 2017, and the New York Times really liked it. They put it on their 25 best recordings for the year, so we were really excited about that. Mostly we just really enjoyed learning and performing and recording all of these pieces. They're wonderful pieces, so I hope you enjoy hearing it.
Yeah, what does it mean to have that sort of distinction in the 30 seconds we have or less? Because it means something for the quartet, but it also means something to all those composers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that makes me most happy about it is we felt really proud of the work that we put in on the album, and we've really believed in all of those pieces, and so we're happy that more people got a chance to discover it and hear it. And
Sam,
I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your time in South Dakota with the whole group. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you.
The concert is Sunday, May 6th at 3 p.m. at First Congregational Church in Rapid City, and this is the close of the Black Hills Chamber Music Society's season, so you won't want to miss it. And we're going to leave you today at the end of the show with Push-Pulling, and it's from the recording of Unbound by the Jasper String Quartet. We spoke with Sam Quintel, the founding violist. Here's the piece. Thanks for listening.